Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we begin the season of Lent here in the year of 2022, here we are on Ash Wednesday. What is coming in the season? We have 46 days, so counting from today and then also counting Holy Saturday, from today until that day, we have 46 days. We talk about the 40 days of Lent. We have 46 because we do not count the Sundays. They are Sundays that are in Lent, but they are not of Lent, so they are not part of the 40 days. Even as we go through these 40 days, Monday through Saturday, for a number of weeks, God is calling us during this time of the year to remember this reality that we have sinned. And it was our sin that resulted in his own son going to the cross for us and for our salvation. We should remember that throughout the year, but this is a special time to remember that sad reality, but also that glad reality that God loved us so much that he was willing to send his son, and that Jesus was willing to endure so much for us and for our salvation. On this Ash Wednesday, let us admit our sins. Let us be sorry and trust in Jesus. Let us rejoice in our rightness with God. Our sins made us wrong with God, but in Christ, we are right with God. Only in Christ, not because of who we are, not because of what we do, only in Christ are we right with him, and then with joy, knowing that we are right, knowing that God is our Father, knowing that heaven is open for us, let us live in ways that both bring honor to our Father in heaven and will also be a blessing to us both in this life and in the life to come. Today's sermon, we're going to take a look at our three assigned readings for Ash Wednesday. Our first reading, our Old Testament reading, is in Joel chapter 2. I divided the readings up into parts so we can get a little bit of an idea as to what we're looking at before we do so. As we enter in here to chapter 2, verse 12, notice the components of repentance that we have in this section. It talks about returning, fasting, weeping, mourning, rending our hearts. Not something on the outside. God wants us to get to the inside. He wants it to be something that is true to the very core of our being. The Bible says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments." In the second part of the reading, we have some words here of encouragement. God is a gracious God, a compassionate God. He is slow to anger. He is relenting. What does all that mean? When we think about those realities of God, that should encourage us to go right to the heart of our being. That should encourage us to lay it all out there. That should encourage us to say, "Dear Lord, here it is. You know it all. I'm sorry. And I lay it before you with confidence, believing that you will fully forgive me." The Bible says, "Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." Great encouragement for us to not hide anything, but to be fully open to God. Then when we think about the topic of repentance, is that just for select people? By no means, it is for everyone. Notice in this next part of the reading how there's an attempt to get the attention of everyone, and no one is left out here. The Bible says, blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants, let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. So everyone is included, from the youngest to the oldest, and no matter what you are doing, even if you are newlyweds, that is not more important than gathering in the presence of God and being repentant and receiving his forgiveness. And then as we continue here, notice the seriousness of prayer. Lent is a great time to do things different. Sometimes to give up something, sometimes to start something new, and maybe one thing to start new would be to be more serious in our discussions with God. The Bible says, "Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations.' Why should they among the people say, 'Where is their God?'" God wants us to be fervent in our prayers. He never wants us to say one thing and have the heart be somewhere else. He wants our heart and our lips to be in tune with each other. So may first of all our heart be in tune with the truth of God's word, and then we will always be speaking to God in ways that are pleasing to him. So we start with the Bible, into our heart, and then onto our lips. In the final part here of the Old Testament reading, we see the Lord's favorable response. In other words, he wants us to take all the things we've talked about in a serious way, and we can be confident that the Lord will respond favorably to us. God is good. The Bible says, "Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity, that is mercy, on his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, 'Behold, I'm going to send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied in full with them. And I will never again make you a reproach among the nations.'" Today's epistle reading is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and then moves over to the first part of chapter 6. In the first part of this reading, we think about Paul and those on his missionary team, and they're making a plea to the Corinthians to be right with God. Now keep in mind, many of them probably already were right with God. But of course, even within the visible church, there can be people, yes, they seem to be there, yes, they are gathering, but are they right with God? We're not talking about on the outside, we're talking about on the inside. St. Paul wrote, "We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." In other words, be in a right relationship with God. One day, nothing else will matter than whether or not we are in a right relationship with God. We don't know how much time we have, so we should make it a priority now, and it should never stop being a top priority until we are finally with God forever. A key passage, we took a look at this in Bible class last week, but a very important passage in the Bible here in verse 21, God the Father made God the Son, who knew no sin. So thinking about the Son of God, He is the sinless Son of God. He is the one who came and lived a perfect, sinless, holy life in our place as our substitute. So that particular person who knew no sin, God the Father made him to be sin on our behalf. That's pointing ahead to Good Friday, when God the Father gathered up the sins of the entire world and put them on his Son. Why did he do that? I mean, it was so horrible in a way for the Father and also for the Son, but that shows their great love for us. So God the Father did that, and Jesus did all that he did so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by that great exchange of him taking our sin, and then by the gift of faith, us receiving his righteousness, his perfect rightness, the very thing we need in order to be welcomed into heaven. And then as we move over into the beginning of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, now we have a plea here for people to not miss out. So it's important for everyone to have this rightness with God. And yet, what is the tendency? People might say, well, okay, I hear you, that's important, but now think about it more tomorrow. I'm a little bit too busy today. Or I'm a young person now, I'll think about it when I get a little bit older. Or I'm healthy right now, maybe if I become ill, then I'll start thinking about it. People have all kinds of excuses why they're gonna put it off. Of course, some flat out reject it. They say it's not true. But probably more often though, people try to put it off to a later time. What is happening every time someone puts it off? They are actually hardening their heart against God. And think about that over and over again. They're making it harder and harder and harder. A very bad situation. God is saying, do not do that even once, but rather receive the great things he is offering. Notice what it says. Paul is talking about himself now and those with him, and working together, us working together with Jesus, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, don't receive it in such a way that it has no benefit for you. There are a lot of things in life, if we receive them, but we don't benefit from the thing we are receiving, then it is foolishness, it is worthless, it is meaningless. Paul is saying, don't let that happen, especially with what God is offering to us in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, for he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today's gospel reading today is found in Matthew chapter 6, so we're right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And as we begin here, Jesus wants us to not only do the right things, but he wants us to do them for the right reasons. Again, that is connecting the outside with the inside. You can see someone doing something, and it is right. You can tell it is right. But we always have to wonder from the inside, why are they doing what they are doing? God knows both. Other people don't know. They can only see what's on the outside, but it's very important to God, though, and very important for us, too, or it should be, that the inside and the outside are always in harmony with each other. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." What's going on with the people who do that? Oh yeah, looks good on the outside, but the thing is, it is not in harmony with what's on the inside. They're doing what is right on the outside, but they have the wrong motivation on the inside. They are doing it to be noticed by others, and that is never a reason to do it. Jesus is going to touch on now the topics of giving to the poor, of praying, of fasting, and he's always going to say, don't do them on the outside to be seen by others. That should never be the reason why we do it. Notice what he said here as we come to the topic of giving to the poor. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Why? So that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and then what will happen? Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So the one who does it wanting to get the attention of others, so he does it on the outside, other people see it. Do you know what his reward is? His reward is other people seeing it. That's his full reward. But for the one who does it in secret, then no one else knows, but Jesus clearly said, it is God our Father in heaven who sees what is going on in secret, and he will reward us. He is going to give a much better reward than simply someone else seeing or knowing about what we are doing. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Pretty difficult, isn't it, to hide something from your left hand that your right hand is doing? So he's saying to us, in a sense, it's not so easy to do things in secret sometimes, but he wants us to do our best to make it secret. The other thing I wanted to point out here, so notice in verse 2, and then you can also see in verse 5, and then jumping ahead to verse 16, in all three places, it has the word when or whenever. Jesus is not saying, if you give to the poor, if you pray, if you fast. The assumption is you are going to be doing those things, so when you do them is what he's saying. When you do them, make sure you do them in secret. On the topic of prayer, Jesus says something very similar about what he said about the poor. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. What do? They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. And why do they do that? So that they may be seen by men. That's their whole reason for doing it. Oh, we want you to know what a great person I am, so let me do it in front of everybody else so you can know that about me. That is not at all what God wants going on in our hearts. And then Jesus said, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So that is not the way to go. Then he told us, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What about the topic of fasting that is also to be done in secret? Now, fasting, we could talk about it in negative ways. Some people say, oh, if I fast, I might get a headache. We could talk about it in positive ways. People might say, oh, if I fast, I might be able to drop a couple pounds. Well, those are not reasons to not fast or to fast. When we fast, we are giving up something. What did Jesus give up for us? He gave up everything. He gave up the glory of heaven to come down and put on flesh. He gave up having a life of luxury as he lived a very difficult life without having probably only his basic needs most of the time. And then, of course, he gave up having comfort as he had nails driven into his body. And then he gave up being holy by receiving every sin of every one of us. He gave up so much. So what is fasting about? Fasting is about giving up something, and we should give up something that we enjoy, something that we want, something that we like. So when we give it up and we're like, oh, I really wish I could have that, or I really want that, when we start thinking like that, we shouldn't focus on us and what we want or what we're missing, but that should turn our focus right to Jesus, who he is, what he gave up for us. That's the idea of fasting, is that whatever it would be, it would turn our attention to him. Jesus said, going on now to verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. Think about looking at someone. You can look at someone sometimes and you just know life is difficult for them. They have like a look on their face, maybe the way their hair is done, maybe the way they're dressed. You're just like, oh my goodness, I don't know what that person is going through, but I'm having pity on that person. Jesus is saying, even if you are extremely hungry, even if you are really struggling because of what you're giving up, don't show it at all. What did he go on to say? But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. What does he mean by that? He's saying, look normal, look happy, look like everything is fine. So on the outside, nobody has any idea that on the inside, you are fasting, and even in your heart, you are focused on Jesus. That's all within, but that should not show at all on the outside. We shouldn't go to our friends and neighbors and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be giving up this and this and this and this and this for Lent. What are you giving up? Well, that's kind of like bragging about it, isn't it? God doesn't want us to do that. So he wants it to be in secret. That's how it is to be done, because what did he say then? Do it with anointing your head, washing your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What does that mean with all these different rewards? We don't know all the details of that, but if God promises it, certainly he will do it. And we can imagine it's going to be something super wonderful. We just can't say exactly what it is, but he's saying, in a sense, trust me. And certainly God is trustworthy. We can trust him in everything. Finally, at the end here, Jesus is telling us to treasure the right things. Now, some people will say they treasure one thing. In other words, they'll say, oh, this is most important to me. But what Jesus is saying, make sure that whatever you say is most important, that that's what your heart is saying is most important. Because a lot of times people will say one thing is important, but yet in their heart, they're actually treasuring something over here. So important to have those two things in harmony with each other. What kinds of things should we treasure? We should treasure things that are eternal. So, for example, in this life, let's say, for example, we were people like in the Ukraine, and someone was coming to take over our nation, and we had to flee from our homes, and we had to leave almost everything behind. And now even U.S. currency is going to mean nothing anymore, and we're basically losing everything except the shirt on our back. That's all we have. When we are treasuring eternal things, we're going to say, hey, it's okay. I've got a shirt on my back. I've got God as my heavenly Father, and even though everything I've worked for my entire life, that's gone to our enemy, I'm okay. Because again, I'm in the family of God. I have my sins forgiven. I know God will provide whatever I need, and I know when the time comes, God will bring me home to heaven. So we're not hanging on to all this stuff that is temporary, and then when you lose it, you're devastated. Jesus is saying, do not be that way. Notice what he said here. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. What's the problem with those kinds of treasures? He told us, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, those need to be in harmony with each other. That is the very best thing. So we should say, dear God, help me to treasure the Bible, because the Bible stands forever. Help me to treasure you, my Father in heaven, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. Help me to treasure my own eternal soul, knowing that nothing that I have is more important than my soul and it being right with you. And then when I look at other people, help me to treasure their eternal souls and know that for them, whether they know it or not, their eternal soul is most important. So we have a short list of eternal things, but may God help us to treasure those very things, not only here in the season of Lent, but even throughout the year and throughout our lives. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all you did to defeat the forces of evil and win our salvation. In response to what you have done, help us always to be sorry for our sins. Help us always to be trusting in you for eternal life, and help us always to gladly honor you in all we think, all we say, and all we do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.